It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
All right, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Ross segment is on deck. It's brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Your questions, he is Ross Tucker. He will answer your questions. Bob Flounders, I'm Andy Shea. Don't forget, the person that Ross deems having the best question this week is going to get a tailgate box, courtesy of the gentleman at 409tailgateclub.com, some rubs, some sauces, and a tailgate with honor apron. Ross, you ready?
I am ready.
We got a full docket, so why not get going and fire away?
I love it.
Dear Dominator Ross, Penn State football launched a new slogan for 2018, Culture Chemistry Championships. What are your thoughts on the family chemistry aspects of the football program? How important is it to the team's success? Also, as a side note, the story of you destroying a huge steak and then doubling down on a gigantic plate of meatballs at the Super Bowl is Paul Bunyan legend stuff.
So, okay, two things, right? Number one, I think chemistry, locker room, the type of people that you have, I think that's critically important at any level of football. I know that Belichick and the Patriots feel that way. The Eagles this year had a ton of awesome human beings, great guys. They won the Super Bowl. I think that's really important. I would say this, though. I don't care at all about slogans. That's pointless. And I don't know that any of us from afar can ever really know what the chemistry is, right? I mean, you know, they always say at the end of a successful season, it was just a great group of guys. You know, the chemistry was great.
Right.
I mean, didn't they just kick a couple guys off the team?
Yes, they did.
You know what I mean? Like a starting linebacker and a guy. So was it a great group of guys? Was the chemistry awesome? Or did they win a bunch of games because they had a lot of talent? Like, I don't know the answer to that. I will say I think chemistry and those type of things are important. I think it's about more than just talent accumulation. It's about building a team. And I think when I remember when I was in New England, they had that a couple places. Like Scott Pioli in his office said something like, we are building a team, not collecting individual talent. And he always wanted to make sure that he was thinking about that when they were thinking about players. So I think that that is important.
All right, thanks for your question, Rich in State College. Moving on, Kurt in Chicora, Pennsylvania.
How do you spell it?
C-H-I-C-O-R-A. Never heard of it.
Ever heard of it, Bob?
No.
I've never heard of it, but I mean, it's pretty interesting to spell it that way.
Yeah.
Hey guys, love the podcast, especially this segment. What are the rules regarding junior college transfers, and what do you think the likelihood of Shaquan Anderson Butts ending up at Penn State after possibly catching up academically? He was such an active recruiter for Micah Parsons. I almost feel bad for him if they just walk away from him.
Okay, so it's a good question.
I'm ready.
And the answer is...
So most JUCOs usually get they're there for 2 years. Most of them,
right.
I think.
And no, but there's more and more guys that just go for a year. Like if you, depending on,
I think Penn State's never had a.
If you don't qualify,
okay,
you have to go to JUCO for 2 years. If you don't qualify in high school, you have to go. This is what it is. If you don't qualify at a high school, you have to go to JUCO for 2 years. If you qualified at a high school, but you chose to go to JUCO, you can go for 1 year and then go. I think you might even be able just to go for one semester, and then it's up to the school then at that point. You don't have to go for 2 years. I don't know. I think it depends on what they think probably of George and Dotson and Justin Shorter, and I think it depends on what receivers they get in this class, whether or not they'll even want them at that point.
Okay. Let's go to Joe in Ann Arbor, Michigan. With all the offensive line talent Penn State has recruited, will we eventually go to a planned rotation during games like the defensive line to keep players fresh, engaged, and motivated? Or will Penn State stick with a starting five? Can an offensive lineman rotation be successful, Ross?
That's a fair question.
fair?
It's a fair question, but it's very different. And I would say I don't like the idea. I rotated as a sophomore.
At Princeton?
At Princeton. And I rotated for a few games my fourth year in the NFL. I'm not a fan of it. You know, it'd be almost like a baseball pitcher pitching the first, third, fifth, seventh innings. Like, part of what the pitcher's doing all game is kind of setting up the other guy. And part, like, you widen your split for a reason. You know, you cut the guy on this run for a reason, because when you do the pass off of it, like, you, so much of it is just getting a feel for the game and the continuity and the chemistry with your teammates and your line mates, the guys next to you. I'm not a fan of rotating. I know, like, my alma mater, Princeton, does it. They play eight guys because they go the fastest tempo in college football. They get 80 snaps in a game.
Right.
And they want to make sure that guys are fresh, less chance of getting hurt. And if a guy gets hurt, they have a guy that's already been playing 20, 30 snaps a game ready to go. So I'm not discounting it. I'm not a big fan of it personally from my experience. But I think if Penn State gets the point where they feel like the talent level is there and they have that many guys that deserve to play, I don't think it's unheard of. And I wouldn't be surprised if at right guard they elect to have a couple guys rotate the first couple games against the non-conference teams to see who deserves it the best, whether it's Mennett or whoever he'll be battling with.
I think this is the first year. This will be James' fifth year.
Right.
This is the first year that they have a pretty legit two deep. Like
on the offensive line.
Yeah, at every position.
I agree. I think they got 11 guys.
Even the center position with McGovern. I think that Miranda's worked in there a little bit. I know Zach Simpson is a guy that got mentioned. I think he's a walk-on. But, I mean, I think they've trained enough guys that at every position, I think they feel good if somebody goes down, that it'll be a little bit challenging, but they're going to be okay moving forward.
All right, let's let's do this. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That's 409tailgateclub.com. Check them out. All right. Your questions, his answers. Next up is David in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. You guys do a great job, and it's nice to get a touch of Penn State football during the offseason. Although you can keep your cold weather up there, I'll stick to my 80-degree days. I know some schools go the JUCO route to fill positions of need, and Penn State has done it a few times, but very rarely. Would you prefer to see Penn State bring in more JUCO kids or not? Why?
They have some fascinating – people are fascinated with JUCO.
I know. I don't get it. Why, after you put this hammer recruiting class together, why the heck are you saying, like, oh, we need 24 in a JUCO? Anyway. It's not my segment. It's yours, Ross. Go ahead, sir.
There's usually a reason why someone goes to JUCO. And a lot of times it's academics. Sometimes it's off-the-field issues. And so there have been plenty of JUCO success stories. But again, there's a reason why a guy goes to JUCO in the first place. So you have to weigh that risk-reward. And a lot of times those issues come back to roost. It's like there's a red flag, which is why they went to JUCO in the first place, right?
Right.
NFL guys will tell you that 99% of the time, the guys that have red flags coming into the draft, eventually that red flag shows itself. You know, he might be on his P's and Q's the first 3 years, everything might be, but eventually they feel like that stuff bubbles up and resurfaces. I think 99% sounds high to me. It's probably more like 75%. But there are a lot of examples. Look at Reuben Foster. Right. Unbelievable linebacker from Alabama. Been arrested twice in the last month. I don't know what's going to happen with him. And that was a bad pick by the Niners because they took him in the first round. And he's definitely going to be suspended. I don't know how long. So, anyway – I don't remember what the exact question was
about JUCO.
Yeah, but should they sign more JUCO kids?
Yeah, should they? Why or why not?
I mean, they don't have. If you have anymore. A top five class, why would you? Usually, right. You only sign JUCOs. Some schools sign a ton of JUCOs. Other schools, you sign them just when you need to fill a major need.
Well, I mean, when the offensive line was depleted at tackle, that's why they signed Paris Palmer. They did not. They wanted to get somebody they thought could bridge the gap. And he played a little bit there his final year, but Penn State hasn't had a lot of JUCOs that have really I would consider them to be, you know, slam dunk successes.
All right, this one comes from Paul in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Ross, where do you think Trace McSorley among returning quarterbacks in college football ranks heading into the 2018 season?
I mean, who else is there?
I think he's on the short list for the Heisman right now. I think
he's a top five guy, right?
I think he's a top
right?
five Heisman guy, I think, legitimately. I don't know. He is clearly to me the guy in the Big Ten that
he's the best quarterback.
That's
in the Big
line.
Ten.
The line.
So who are the other big-time quarterbacks?
The line forms with him. Well, we don't know who the Michigan quarterback's going to be because Shea Patterson is
no. But I mean nationally, NC State's got a good quarterback.
Finley,
the kid's name. Yeah.
Ooh, I knew that.
Alabama's got two.
Yeah. Alabama's got a couple
Alabama's,
of them. That,
that
freshman
Georgia Jake
is
Fromm.
Good.
Yeah. I think he's
a top three, I think. I would say he's a legit top three.
I don't know how you could say he's not after the last couple of years. And I think he's a legitimate Heisman candidate.
Legitimate. All right, moving on.
Hopefully they at least invite him this year. Maybe that's my minute for this week.
Oh,
yeah.
Preview. Brad in Washington, D.C. asks, how do you think Lamont Wade might fit in at safety? At 5'9", 195, can he be successful there, Ross?
He can be successful. There's a history of shorter safeties that have had success. Bob Sanders is a guy that comes to mind, another Pennsylvania native. I'm sure you guys talked about it in the first quarter. It's very telling about the guys that are currently at safety. Because don't they have Garrett Taylor and Patrician and
Aaron Monroe
and Nick Scott? Mm-hmm. I mean –
correct on all counts.
But he also provides versatility in that
yeah.
he could be safety first and second down and then be the slot and the nickel on third down and give you a lot of versatility there. A bunch of good questions.
He might be that one guy you just have to get him on the field.
Yeah, I think a bunch of good questions this week.
The check marks are the ones that were asked.
I'm going to go in Chikora because Chikora, PA – that sounds like a place that could use a 409 tailgate club.
North of Pittsburgh, I've been told.
Oh.
So that's somewhere between Pittsburgh and
then
Erie.
Definitely they could
okay.
use.
Heading
yes.
towards
they definitely
Slippery Rock.
Could.
Yes.
This is a knee-based decision.
I like the shake the Shaquan Anderson butts. I like that question about JUCO eligibility.
I think it is.
Made
and
me
he,
think.
And he did play a role in helping get Micah Parsons into Penn State. All right, that'll do it. Coming up. We wrap up with quarter number four. We're going to look at some spring breakouts, have a little round table. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now, see what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.